here, we will proceed. We will go ahead and hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji, who will kindly introduce His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj to us. Mataji, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Nina Mataji. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj is a disciple of ISKCON founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He is also an initiating spiritual master within the ISKCON movement. Maharaj was born in New Jersey in 1947, and he came in contact with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in Denver, Colorado, at the age of 24. In 1973, he began practicing Krishna consciousness in New York City, and shortly thereafter began serving at the New Vrindavan Farm Community in West Virginia. That same year, he received initiation from His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In 1986, His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj accepted the sannyas order and began preaching in Cincinnati and Columbus, Ohio. In 1995, he began serving as a resident sannyasi in Chicago, where he was based until 2013, when he relocated to Karlovac, Croatia. At present, Maharaj offers spiritual guidance around Europe, the USA, and in India. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for your wonderful introduction. We will go ahead and wait a few minutes for Maharaj to join. Until then, if there is anybody else who would like to kindly announce your name, I'll be delighted to welcome you. So if there are a few devotees who haven't had yet the chance, Linus. Hare Krishna, Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to all our Guru Maharajas, and all glories to your lotus feet, Maharaj. So devotees, we'll proceed to our next session, which is, we will continue from our Canto 5, Chapter 17, verse number 20. Maharaj, whenever you're ready, you may take the call over and enlighten us. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Mataji, Indulekha, yes. Mataji, continue from yesterday.
Is this the correct verse?
No.
It's 5:17:20, right, Mataji?
No. 10 and 11, yes, it. Where we stopped yesterday, Mataji?
On the 19th verse, Mataji.
On 19th?
Yeah. Yesterday, Maharaj was talking about the anger and Lord Shiva. So, this was the purport that Maharaj covered. Do you want me to go further up? Shyamagauri Mataji?
Yeah, let's continue, Mataji.
Okay. Is that okay, Maharaj? Shall we go start from 20?
Whatever you tell me, I don't really know. And just following your instructions.
Okay. Yeah, till yesterday we covered 19, so today we are. Okay, thank you, Mataji.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Asadraso yar prativati mayayam. Shive vishive vamara savatamralochanaha. Nagavadhyor Hana Ishware Riya Yapadayo Sparsana Darshatendriya. Translations for persons with impure vision. The Supreme Lord's eyes appear like those of someone who indiscriminately drinks intoxicating beverages. Thus bewildered, such intelligent persons become angry at the Supreme Lord, and due to their angry mood, the Lord himself appears angry and very fearful. However, this is an illusion. When the wives of the serpent demons were agitated by the touch of the Lord's lotus feet due to shyness, they could proceed no farther in their worship of him. Yet the Lord remained unagitated by their touch, for he is equipoised in all circumstances. Therefore, who will not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Purport. Anyone who remains unagitated, even in the presence or cause of agitation, is called dhira, or equipoised. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being always in a transcendental position, is never agitated by anything. Therefore, someone who wants to become dhira must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, dhira sutrana muyanti. A person who is equipped in all circumstances is never bewildered. Prahlad Maharaj is a perfect example of a dhira. When the fierce form of Nrisingadeva appeared in order to kill Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad was unagitated. He remained calm and quiet, whereas others, including even Lord Brahma, were frightened by the features of the Lord. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Ginajana Salakaya. Chaksun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prasthaya bhutalaya. Shri bhakti bhakti vedanta swami ti namine namaste saraswati deve. Gauravani pachari ne nirvase sasunyavari pasyatya deva sutarine. Panchakalpa tarubhascha. Sindhu Peyavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we would request the devotees to turn on their. Okay. We're going to keep the verse up. All right. We'll keep the verse up. One of the qualities of a Vaishnava is Dhira. In the song of the Sat Goswami Astakam, you hear dira dira jano priyo priya karo, that they are friendly and neutral to the dira and undira. So there's a class of people called diras. They're not moved by happiness and distress. They're not moved by changing of circumstances. They remain fixed in their consciousness. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something one has to practice. And the way one can develop this dhira, as it says here, one must take shelter of the lotus feet of the source of all power, Krishna himself. He is always in a position of remaining undisturbed by material energy. To those who think wrongly, as it says here, someone sees the eyes of the Lord and thinks that he is intoxicated. They are simply reflecting their own image upon the Lord, or their own understanding on the Lord. The Lord is transcendental to all material situations. One, how is it possible that the Lord can be affected by the changing of the material energy when it's his devotees who come to take shelter of him to be free from the effects of the material energy? So it's not possible. He's giving shelter for those who were agitated by material energy. So how is it possible that he could be agitated or disturbed by the changing features of the material energy? It's not possible. And he also creates the material energy, so he's not controlled by his own creation. So he always remains Dira. Even though he had 16,108 wives, he was not attached to any of them. But in his spirit of loving relationships, he interacted with them as their intimate wives. And we see an example of when Krishna was at the Rasa dance with Radharani and all of the gopis. At one point, he left everybody and just left. And everyone was wondering, where did Krishna go? And of course, Radharani and the gopis in a separate group. Radharani went alone. The other devotees came afterwards. Actually, it's a little different. What actually happened is Radharani left the Rasa dance first, and then Krishna went after her. He caught up with her. But then when he was with her, she was feeling a little proud that Krishna favored her. And in that pride, Krishna left, and she was left without association with Krishna. But Krishna, you can show that he is not attached to anything. He is Atmarama, he's self-contained. He needs nothing outside of himself, but still he interacts with his devotees in loving relationships. You see that also in this world today. You see persons who are not disturbed. Even in a material sense, you'll see certain persons, they are not disturbed by material situations. Like military people, they train themselves very strongly. And through their own experience, they're not disturbed what happens on the battlefield. They remain fixed in their service or their activities on the battlefield, and do not become disturbed what's happening to them or around them. They remain fixed in their fighting spirit. So you'll see there are persons who are like that. Prabhupada tells the story of Stalin, the very vicious dictator in Russia almost 100 years ago. He had to have an operation, a very severe operation. And he refused to take an anesthesia for the operation. He wanted to watch the operation. And he did. And he was not disturbed by what was happening to him during the operation. So you find that there are even people in the material world who have these strong minds when they're not disturbed by the happiness and distress. And devotees can achieve that, as it says here, by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. We have the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Not only was he not disturbed when Lord Nrisingadev came and in his fierce form to kill his father, he was not disturbed even at the time when his father was trying to kill him in different ways. He remained fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord in devotion. So one has to practice both the principles of devotional service, that is hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord, and at the same time practice becoming free from the turbulences in the material world. one who becomes affected by happiness and distress cannot execute devotional service properly, nor effectively. It's compared to a leaf. A leaf, when the wind blows, the leaf will be picked up in the air and it'll go in the direction of the wind. Then the wind may stop, it'll fall in a certain place, and then another wind will come and pick it up again. So being affected by the changing attitude is like being in the leaf of a wind. When Srivas Thakur's son died during the kirtan in his house, in the evening when Lord Chaitanya was there, although the family members were overwhelmed with grief, he remained undisturbed by that, simply because he was fixed on pleasing Lord Chaitanya and not disturbing Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. When Lord Chaitanya found out about 7.5 hours later that Srivas Thakur's son had died, he asked, "Why didn't you tell me?" Srivas said, "I didn't want to disturb your kirtan." Lord Chaitanya was so pleased to see how he was so unaffected by the death of a loved one, his son, that the Lord actually started to glorify Srivas in so many different ways. Of course, he was also glorifying him because he was fixed on his service to the Lord. So one who comes and becomes absorbed in his service to the Lord becomes fixed on that service, is not disturbed by the changing of the circumstances. Happiness, distress, heat, cold, honor and dishonor, winter and summer seasons, which affect Marta Sparsis to Kunteya, Sitnosna Sukadukada, Agapayino Nitya Tamste Tikshiva Bharata. So Dira is very much related to the principle of tolerance. But one who is tolerant sometimes is experiencing the difficulties that are occurring. But one who is Dira, they're above those difficulties, and that's not the verse, it's actually 2:14. If you want the actual verse, I quote it. It's the next verse down the page. If you go to it, it's 2:14. Yeah, that's the verse. So one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So happiness and distress, according to material calculations, are constantly coming in this world. In fact, they come regularly, every day, every minute sometimes. Things change. One minute everything is nice, the next minute there is turbulence. One minute everything is turbulent, the next minute it is all gone. The material energy is called mutable. And so the conditioned souls are always trying to adjust the arrangements of the material energy not to become affected by these things. And to find ways to avoid them. But the devotees know that one cannot avoid the changings of the material energy. They work under higher powers, and therefore one has to learn to be fixed in Krishna consciousness and not be disturbed by these things. And that is a very important part in execution devotional service. If we don't come to this stage of learning how to become Dira, we can't make it in Krishna consciousness. We will fall away because we are moved by the changing tides. For instance, we all have to leave this body. So at the time of death, you have to fix your mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. If you're disturbed by the pains and coming by the diminishing of the body, then it becomes very hard to actually focus your concentration on the Lord. So one has to learn to somehow or other practice this dhira before that time of death comes, because if we're not ready and we're still fighting to keep the body in good conditions at the time of death, then we'll be again forced to take another birth in this material world. But one who can absorb himself in Krishna at the time of death, and that's not easy, depending on how that death appears. Sometimes it appears very painful, and sometimes it becomes just like a changing from one room to another. So one has to practice this dhira, equipoise, and it's one of the qualities of a Vaishnava who is engaged in devotional service. And Prahlad Maharaj, we have Haridas Thakur, he was also very dhira. When he was being beaten in 22 marketplaces, he was completely absorbed in chanting of the holy name, and at the same time not holding any negativity towards his torturers. In fact, he was praying for them to receive the mercy of the Lord. So you'll see there's many, many examples throughout the Shastras of great souls who remain dhira. We have Ranti Dev. Ranti Dev was a very influential king. In his kingdom, he decided to perform some austerity by fasting for a whole year. Finally, the year was up and it was the day to break the fast. A big feast was cooked by his wife. He was ready to break the fast. And then first a man with a pack of dogs came. And he said, "Me and my dogs are hungry. Can you give us some food?" And he did. And then just before he was about to fast again, another person came, and there was even one animal that came looking for food. Finally, he gave everything away, and all he was left with was a glass of water. He had nothing left. And then he was about to drink the water, and then even then, another one person came and said, "I'm thirsty." And so Ranti Dev gave even the water away. He had nothing. And then all of those persons who came actually were demigods in disguise. They came to test him, and they glorified him for his generosity in showing compassion to others who were in need. And he's glorified for that. The story of Ranti Dev is mentioned in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very instructive. So there are so many examples in the Vedic literatures. Even in Bhagavatam, you'll find so many. So this dhira, one has to practice that. Unagitated in any circumstance. And we also get the power comes not only through the practice, but one has to also take shelter. And this is the main thing. To the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of all shelters, and therefore one who's taking shelter of him can develop this detachment or dhira in any circumstance. And this is the quality of a devotee, not moved by happiness and distress. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, I forgot the question. I remember the answer, but I can't remember the question. The question was, how do you continue to preach in all of these circumstances? And he said, Prabhupada said, "I'm not moved by these rascal scientists." The scientists are saying so many things, and people like to believe the scientists. Whatever goes on the news, we believe it. But Prabhupada knows that these people are cheaters, they're liars, and they're all out to gain some remuneration, popularity, and they have no position to be authorities. So Prabhupada knew that. And therefore, he was always speaking strongly against people in high positions who had no good qualities, simply trying to cheat people and make up stories and lies and trying to get people to buy things they don't need. But Prabhupada could see that. And he was very strong in delivering his message that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the eternal servant of the Lord. This is the absolute truth. Anybody who says anything different has no knowledge and is simply, the word here is illusion. Illusion, and there's the word called mumubi. Mumubi means one who is illusioned. To be under the influence of the material energy means to be illusioned. Therefore, anyone who's under the influence of the material energy will be illusioned. And so those who have to take shelter of Krishna and hear from the words of the pure devotee spiritual master, and they get all the complete understanding of what is actually the truth and how to benefit oneself by living a life in shelter in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna consciousness means a complete transformation of one's consciousness from seeing myself as the center to seeing Krishna as the center. That's the complete transformation of consciousness. To see the material energy as simply something that one has to tolerate and deal with, but not, it cannot provide any support, peace, satisfaction, or any happiness. This all comes by way of execution of devotional service. And the movement of the material energy, and the material energy has three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And these modes are energies, and they're very strong. And they're pushing the living entity to think and act in a certain way according to the association of that particular mode. So one has to learn to be transcendental to the modes by taking shelter of Krishna in devotional service. As soon as we remember Krishna in devotion, we are free from the effects of the material energy. And to develop dhira, one has to practice that, being fixed on Krishna in all circumstances. And then the devotee knows, whatever is happening by the material energy has nothing to do with me. It's simply the changing. Just like the summer comes and the summer leaves, we turn on the fans, the air conditioners, we complain about the heat, and then the winter comes, and then we turn on the thermostats, we jump it up as high as we could to stay warm. We complain about the cold weather. Now, all of these movements of the material energy are there, and they will always be there. So one who is affected by these things, of course, one should take precautions according to how best one can serve, but one is not disturbed. It's like, you might say, well, why are things happening the way they are? Well, it's because this is the material world. Can't expect anything good to happen in the material world. It's like saying, why is it cold in the winter? Because it's winter. The devotee has to take shelter of Krishna seriously by remembering Krishna in devotion. The easiest and best way to remember Krishna is to chant his holy name. And the chanting of the holy name is always available at any time, any place, in any circumstance. One can simply chant Hare Krishna and be free from the effects of the material energy. Because when one is in touch with Krishna through the chanting of the holy name, one is no longer part of the material energy. There may be some disturbance, but if one remains fixed in thinking of Krishna and chanting his holy name, that disturbance will gradually diminish, and one will start to feel peaceful and happy in any and every circumstance. This is Krishna consciousness. And that prepares one to leave the body, because at the time of death, there may be many disturbances coming by the body and the mind. So preparing ourselves now, while we're still in good, sound physical condition, is the way to leave, to prepare oneself to leave the world in a, in absorption at the lotus feet of Krishna, which is ultimately the goal of life. Okay, so as Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness simply means practice. You want to practice to what you want to become, simply practice that. But practicing remembering Krishna, that is the main principle by which all other practices become easy and natural. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. And you said those magic words, practice, 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 practice. And we are trying to practice dhiraj, dhira. You know, I personally feel, Maharaj, so when the good days come or the bad days come, or the good situation, the bad situation, they all come and go. We know and we try to relate and we try to put it into action. However, I mean, we don't react. However, in the mind, it's not internalized yet. But as you said, practice, probably that's the only way to actually internalize the dhiraj, the dhira inside our being, right?
Yeah, but one should also understand that nothing can happen without the sanction of the Lord.
Wonderful.
So he puts the material energy in working order. It works accordingly. And then it's going to work, but ultimately it's still working under his direction.
Absolutely.
So he allows things to happen and he wants things to happen. So in many cases, he is just allowing the material energy to work accordingly. But if we take shelter of him, then we're no longer affected by the changing of the material energy. Gradually that consciousness develops through practice.
Yes, Maharaj, practice, yes. Yeah. Thank you for your wonderful class. They are so pragmatic and so applicable. Thank you, Maharaj. Devotees, if you have any questions, please go ahead and ask Maharaj now that we have him here.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Sri Haridada Devi Dasi. I have this question. If you may allow me, can I ask you?
Yes, yeah, so let me just mention one thing before we start the questions and answers. We're asking everybody to turn on their videos during the question and answer session. Okay, as many people as possible. I know some of you are too shy to do that for whatever reason or indisposed, but as many devotees as can, please switch on your cameras.
Hare Krishna Maharaji, Dandavad Parnam, Jai Srila Prabhupada, Jai Guruve. This is Sri Haridana Devi Dasi. What I wanted to ask you, like you said, that everything is Krishna's energy, the material energy. Everything is Krishna's energy, the material energy. And we are put into a certain situation through Krishna himself because it's Krishna's energy. And so if that is the case, let's say that a scenario that where two devotees are fighting like cats and dogs, and they know that it's a stupid fight, it should not happen or take place in the first place. Is that also one of the reasons where Krishna is involved and he's the one who allowed his energy to invoke a fight into a devotee?
Well, the material energy is going to work according to how it's supposed to work. Each of the categories, goodness, passion, ignorance, have certain characteristics and qualities. So if we connect with the mode of passion, we're going to be working in a fruitive way to get the material results. And so when we work like that and other people are working and sometimes there's competition. When there's competition, there also can be we say dissension, and you see that all the time. So that means, according to the association with the mode of passion, people will fight, or the mode of ignorance even more so.
Okay, thank you so much. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Parnam.
Yeah, the Krishna doesn't interfere with the material energy. He simply says, take shelter of me, and you'll be free from that.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Alicia, Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I have a question. In spite of hearing so much about rising early, the importance of waking up early in the morning, I sleep in the night, but I mean, you know, I just can't make it. Even at 4, I feel, okay, let me sleep a bit more. What to do? How do I overcome this
habit? You're saying you want to get up a little earlier, but...
Yeah, but this bad habit of just lying around...
Habit has to be replaced with habit. So if we're accustomed to getting up at a certain time, that accustomed is going to be there, even though we may want to change. So you have to see what you need to adjust to come to that platform. It may not come immediately. One, maybe say, take rest a little earlier. Two, do certain things at the time of before you take rest, which will make it easier for you to rise when the time comes. There are many practical things that you can do. But when devotees ask these questions, I say gradual, gradual. If you're accustomed to getting up at 6 and you want to get up at 4, you might have to go from 5:45 the first, you know, couple of days, then down to 5:30, and then gradually, gradually, gradually. Because the body gets conditioned along with the mind. Of course, the mind directs the body, but both of them get conditioned to act in a way that the pattern that they're in. So if you want to change your pattern, you have to pray to Krishna, and at the same time, you have to adjust things on the practical level. That's a practical thing, but at the same time, you can pray to Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. I'll try.
Good luck. getting up at 4 o'clock is recommended. The latest we should possibly get up at is 4:30. Anything later than that is just too late. Because those early morning hours are actually very conducive to spiritual practice, chanting, reading, praying, worshiping are all more in the atmosphere is more inclined to support our spiritual activities at that time of the day.
Maharaj, by your blessings, Vaishnavas are like desire trees, so by your blessings, I'll overcome this anartha.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big point in our spiritual. When we get up early every day, you'll see your spiritual life will become more stronger.
Raja Bhakti Mataji, would you like to go ahead?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble
obeisance. Haribo, Columbus, Kija.
Jai Maharaj, so happy to see you.
How's Haridas doing?
Oh, he's wonderful, Maharaj. He's wonderful.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Thank you so much for that priceless mercy from you. I can't imagine. I still could not digest the fact. So happy.
Well, I had nothing to do with it. He just wanted to come, so I was just a messenger.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Maharaj, my question is, you know, like you were talking about taking shelter. So, you know, when difficult times comes, we always keep thinking of, you know, that problem. It just doesn't go out of the mind. So how do we take shelter, and what does it mean to take shelter in that difficult time?
You want to push something out of your mind, then it just keeps coming back?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the longer it stays in the mind, the harder it is to push it out. And that's a fact. So when you notice it comes into the mind, immediately try to remove it before, because a thought is like a flower or like a plant that has a tendency to grow as soon as it gets into the mind. So you replace that with something spiritual, something Krishna consciousness, and then keep doing it until actually that becomes the thought. All you can do is push it out with something spiritual. You have to keep working on it. So, I mean, Prabhupada used to say, he said, every time I become disturbed, I chant loudly.
Oh.
So loud chanting actually helps to push out these things a lot faster than any other form of efforts we can make. Chant loudly. I've had experiences like that where it worked for me.
Okay. I'll try
more. Naveen, Haribo, how are you?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. Thank you very much. Looking forward for association again.
I'm looking forward to my next visit.
Yes, Maharaj.
Haridas Thakur is really wanted to see Maharaj. He's very happy.
You want me to quickly show him, Maharaj?
Yeah.
Okay, 1 second.
I haven't seen him since he's been in his new location.
Yes, Maharaj.
Oh, beautiful. So nice. And he's dressed so nicely. Yeah. Very
beautiful.
But thank you for the darshan. You gave him his own altar. Wow, that's nice.
Yes, Maharaj. I put Tulsi next to him. And So this is our japa station here. So we'll sit here and chant all the time.
Yeah, Tulsi and Haridas Thakur, maybe the prostitute will come in that setting. And she'll try to tempt Haridas.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Well, I'm happy you're happy.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Indulekha Mataji, would you like to go ahead, please?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Your Holiness. Thank you for a wonderful class, Maharaj. So Maharaj, today you were explaining about how, in a way, like we should be steady, sober, dhira, and also such a person would also be compassionate. So I was just wondering, when we start understanding how things are in the real world, actually, that, you know, we are not this body, we are the soul, all of that, and we should be steady in all situations, sort of we kind of lose that sense of compassion. So how do we become compassionate devotees, Maharaj? Could you please help with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. You hit on a very subtle point, which is important, that we might, in our dira, we might be a little bit less compassionate to everybody else's suffering or the situations they find themselves in. But a devotee is compassionate as a principle and not as something that comes and goes. So if a devotee can relieve the suffering of others, they consider that an opportunity to do service. So although they still may be practicing dhira for themselves, they want to help others also come to that platform by showing the compassion needed to help bring people out of their difficult situations. And that means giving them Krishna consciousness accordingly. So, it shouldn't cause one to be hard-hearted, to be dear, or intolerant of another's suffering. We should be intolerant of another's suffering and tolerant of our own difficulties. Narada Muni, Prahlad Maharaj, they all practiced that. When Prahlad Maharaj was trying to be killed by the Brahmins, these were tantric Brahmanas. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned in another scripture where these Haranyakashipu had these Brahmanas who could put evil spells on people and kill them. They tried it on Prahlad, but Prahlad was unaffected by it because of his power of spiritual absorption into Krishna. But one of the features that if you try to kill someone with mantras, and it can be done, you can kill people with mantras. And the demons, some demons, they know how to do that. Then if that mantra doesn't work on the victim, the effects of the mantra come back to the person who delivers it. So these mantras were coming back on these brahmanas, and they were dying. And now Prahlad Maharaj is there, and they're starting to pray to Prahlad Maharaj, please save us. They tried to kill him, but the mantras came back and was killing them. And now they're praying to Prahlad to save him, and Prahlad did. He had the power to to nullify the effects of the mantras that they gave. So he wasn't insensitive to their suffering. Haridas Thakur was not insensitive to the sufferings of others. He was always trying to relieve that, but he was not disturbed when difficulties came upon him. So that's a devotee. So that, again, has to be a feature of devotional service, that a devotee is by nature kind-hearted. Kind-hearted means he doesn't want to see anyone suffer. And if he can relieve the suffering, then he considers that an opportunity to serve. We have to practice that along with practicing becoming tolerant for ourselves. I think that's more natural, to be compassionate towards others. It's more difficult to be unaffected by what happens to us. But the nature of devotee is, they rejoice in another person's happiness and Krishna consciousness, and they feel, Eva says, even Krishna feels sad when he sees the living entities in the material world are suffering because they don't know that their real happiness is to be with him, to serve him, to remember him. So he feels a kind of sadness, but that sadness doesn't affect his happiness. It's just a feature of his compassionate nature.
Wonderful.
And so it doesn't have to be contrary.
Yes, Maharaj, so many things to learn in this process. So thank you so much, Maharaj. What a wonderful answer. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
We have Antaranga Mataji, if you would like to pose your question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisance. Thank you for the wonderful class.
My question was that when we are in some problems, my tendency is normally to go and stand in front of the deities and ask them for help. So, and then I feel that I am like disturbing them continuously, that whenever I go and stand in front of Kishore Kishori, I'm just asking for help. So is that okay to ask for help from the deities?
Yeah, you should. But we shouldn't bother them with the little things that we can solve ourselves. Unless you should see what, well, I'm in a difficult situation. The little things we can always just remember, Krishna, and then pray to Krishna, my dear Lord, you know, help me to understand this situation. But when we get into a situation where it becomes difficult, then prayer is natural.
So it's not an offense, and I'm not disturbing them.
I don't think so. That's what Krishna is for. He likes when devotees take shelter and depend on him. But if you're in a material situation where the outcome is material in either case, then that may not be necessary. In other words, the material situation didn't work out according to your plan, and now you're asking Krishna to solve the material situation for you. But if it comes to taking shelter, then that's what we do.
Okay, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
I'll give you an example of the material situation. This happened in London. This was communicated to me. One lady, she came before the deities in, you know, Radha Gokulananda in Bhaktivedanta Manor in London. And she was praying for her son to have good marks in all his grades. So she said, my dear Lord, you know, my son is going to middle school, and he has 10 subjects, and please give him A's in all 10 subjects. So then she made her prayer. And then the boy, at the end of the semester, he got A's in 9 subjects, not 10. And she went back and she complained to the Lord that he missed out by only giving 9 instead of 10. So you don't want to do anything like that. When I heard that story, I don't know whether to laugh or just become disgusted. It was just really funny. The people will go before the deities for everything, you know, to solve, you know, the most insignificant situation, which has nothing to do with spiritual life. So, yeah. I think you should be able to distinguish, is this one, can I solve myself, or do I have to go before the Lord and make sincere prayers for this one?
Yeah. Okay, Maharaj. Thank you. That was helpful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you.
It's a nice name.
Yeah. Sometimes we feel that we cannot solve anything by ourselves, no? I'm just trying to ask like a
follow-up. But then Krishna says, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. So remember Krishna.
Yes.
That is the way to go through life, by remembering Krishna. And not just remember Krishna when we need him, but always.
Thank you to all the devotees for such awesome questions. And thank you to Maharaj. Any last minute questions? now. We can end the call then.
Okay. Thank you. This is a nice section of the Bhagavatam. It's very interesting.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you for the wonderful class and thank you for the beautiful answers. Nice to see Haridas Thakur.
Great.
Yeah.
It's so happy
he's in USA.
Yeah. He's an expansion of my deity. When he went to some people's houses, they said, "Oh, you're leaving and you're taking Haridas with you. How can we do, we don't care if you leave, but leave Haridas." So I couldn't do that. So I had to do something. But these devotees served Haridas so nicely when I was at their place. This happened to two people. Preeti also. Actually, Prem Kishori, my other. And both of them were so much in anxiety that Haridas was leaving. And that all I could think of is Haridas wanted to go back there. So he's attracted by devotion. And if you chant in front of Haridas Thakura your japa, you can expect that your japa will be much more pleasing.
Wow.
Rajabhakti can keep a diary of her experiences of what's happening every day in her japa.
That's why definitely I can literally see the difference. In my japa, it's so nice and blissful to sit next to Haridas Thakur and Tulsi Maharani and chant in the morning. So it's so nice, Maharaj. It's so nice. Now devotees, when they come to my home, they walk around and chant like that. Now nobody wants to leave the temple room. Everybody wants to sit there and chant. I have to tell them, okay, you sit first, then you sit next.
Looks like your family is getting bigger.
Yes, Maharaj, it is so, so nice.
Can you post the picture on this group?
Yes, Hare Krishna Maharaj, that was going to be my request. Maharaj, can you please post a picture of your Haridas Thakur also, if possible? And Rajabhakti Mataji, please post a picture of yours too.
Sure, sure.
Oh, a picture, okay, yeah. So I'll send a picture. I'll send a picture to Shamagori and then she can post it.
In the group, yeah. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. Seems like 2 weeks is so far away. But...
For us too, Maharaj.
Out of all the groups that I speak to, you have the biggest numbers. So many devotees. Oh, there's Pariksit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Pariksit. Haribol.
Haribol, Mark. How are you?
Give us some instructions. Tell us something transcendental.
Yeah. They have so much devotion, Maharaj, I can see.
Yeah. Pariksit is a scholar. He reads Bhagavatam and gives classes on the Bhagavatam verses. Wow. You can sign him up for one of your classes, you know, because he's...
Wow.
He's only 10 years old, but he's more like... 35 years old.
Wow.
Like
10.
Oh.
Richard, what are you learning now? Which particular verses are you studying?
Second canto, Maharaj.
Say louder. Second canto now. Good, good.
He actually read all the translations and everything for all 12 cantos, Maharaj. Now he's going back and read the purports in detail. So now he's in second canto reading the purports.
Yes. I am second canto, first chapter, verse number 5. Do you remember that verse?
Okay.
Sukadeva Goswami speaks about that by hearing, chanting, and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will become free from all fear. That's the essence of the verse. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smarnam. A very powerful verse. 215. Yeah.
That's fine. I'll send it to you.
I'll send it to you.
Okay, good, good. Along with the explanations, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Nice to see you, Parikshit. I look forward to coming and again being a part of the family.
It's a pleasure, Maharaj. We'll be waiting for you.
And if you invite Kamagiri over, then
yes,
I'll be there even faster.
Yes, we still laugh about those movements, Maharaj. Yesterday, Krishnagi Saki came for the breakfast. We were sitting and talking about you and the movements that we had when you are here.
Yeah, Kamagiri is an amazing. She's, when I told Radhana Swami that I was with Kamagiri, he was so overwhelmed just hearing her name. He was just so amazed. He was so happy to hear about her. Just reminding him of Kamagiri gives him great happiness.
Yes, Gurudev has very special affection for her.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Thank you, all of the devotees who came today. My obeisances to each and every one of you. You are plugged into a very, very highly developed program of Krishna consciousness discussions. It's been going on for years and years and years, since 2009. It continues to develop nicely. So we want to thank Shyama Gauri and her whole family for working so hard to keep this program going so nicely.
Haribo.
So many souls have been benefited, including me.
Haribo.
Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
My obeisances to everybody. Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.